ladies. We've got a packed house, praise God. We are so thankful for some girl time this morning. Before we get started, Kaylee's going to kick us off, and I'm just going to pray so that the Lord can have this time. So, God, we come before you, and we are thankful that it is you that has created us, and it is you that calls us good. Father, would this be a time when we get to just be real with ourselves and with our thoughts, and learn and grow into how we can see ourselves more made into the image of how you have created us. And so, Father, use this time for your glory alone. And would it just be beneficial for us in our relationship with you? We love you, Lord, and we worship you. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Carissa. Guys, give it up for Carissa, hosting this room so well. She's doing it. For those I haven't met, my name is Kaylee, and I have the privilege of working on the Shoreline team, which is the high school team here at Watermark. And I am so glad that all of you are here for the girls' breakout session. It is not often that we get the chance just to gather as girls and talk about things that I think girls need to talk about just as girls. And this navigating negative body image is one of those things. And so I'm really glad you're here. I hope you guys had a good first breakout session, learned a lot. We're diving into breakout session number 2, navigating negative body image. It's going to be really great. We have a lot to cover in our time together. And we are praying that this time is profitable for you. And so seeing a crowd this size, I have no idea what you guys are bringing into a room like this. Some of you all may be struggling with body image or a relationship with food that has lasted for a really long time. Some of you guys may be here because you hear people talk about body image and food and you just want to know how you should think about it. You know, like, how should we biblically think about body image and relationships with food? And whatever the reason that brought you here, I am so glad you're here. But I want to give a little bit of kind of a preface. We're going to talk about some hard things in this breakout today, just because I think in this broken world, unfortunately, the brokenness kind of catches up to us. And so we're going to talk about kind of just some experiences with body image, eating disorders, and disordered eating that can be really hard to hear at times. And so I wanted to give you guys that warning just so you know that's coming. And maybe you hear me giving that warning and you're like, I don't know if I should be in here. Maybe I should go switch another one. I don't know if that's going to be helpful for me to hear some of the harder things. And I totally understand. That's so great. But just wanted everyone to kind of know, like, hey, we're diving in. We're going to be real together today. And I think it's going to be an awesome conversation. And so before we get going, I'm going to define 2 terms for us that we're going to use throughout this conversation. The first one is body image. And so when we say body image, what are we talking about today? And body image, as we're defining it, is whatever you think you look like on the outside. So if you're taking notes and you want to write this down or you want to take a picture of the screen, you can. Body image is whatever you think that you look like on the outside. And that's so important. You notice the word you being used there a couple of times. So body image is whatever you think that you look like on the outside. And another kind of term that we're going to use is disordered eating. And so to define disordered eating for you all, it is just any abnormal eating behavior. Disordered eating is any abnormal eating behavior, or if you want to think about it, any not normal, a little different eating behavior. In the sense, it could be a lot of different things. Under disordered eating, could be, but not limited to, restrained eating, compulsion eating, binge eating, self-induced vomiting, emotional eating, and more. And so as we kind of get together as girls and we're diving into how do we navigate negative body image, I want to start by going to God's word and thinking about what does the Bible have to say about our bodies and what do we need to hold on to. And so an incredible verse for me when it comes to body image comes from Psalm 139. And I'm going to read it for us right now. It's going to be up on the screen. But it is Psalm 139, starting in verse 13. And I'm going to read down to verse 18. But Psalm 139, to give a little bit of context, you guys may have heard this. You may be like, awesome, I've heard this about body before. Like, this is the, like, token body image verse. But to give some context, this was written by David, who is a man, talked about his life in the Old Testament. David is a king, he is a warrior, and he speaks to how does God view our bodies? And in Psalm 139, he says to God, he's praying, he says, thank you, God, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of the sand. When I wake up, you are still with me. And a few things I noticed from this verse is David, this man of God, talking about our bodies, our image, how God has made us. He starts off by pointing out, we are all made wonderfully complex, that God's workmanship is marvelous. And then he says this line, he goes, how well I know it. Maybe your Bible says the phrase, my soul knows it very well. And when I think about that line, this idea, my soul knows it very well, it's like, I don't know where my soul is. You know, I can be like, oh, my heart's here. My mind's here. Like, where's my soul? I just know it's like here. You know, it's like deep within me. And this idea of like knowing my, like in a soul level, that my soul knows it very well. That is the kind of confidence that God is telling us through his word right here. And he says that God saw us before we were born. Every day of our life, God has known about it. And that God thinks so highly of it. The phrase he says is, how precious are your thoughts about me? That God thinks of us. And he thinks of each and every one of us with thoughts that are just precious. Thoughts that are worthy, that are valued. And that is so important. So what does the Bible say about our bodies and our image and how he views us? It's actually pretty simple. That he loves us. That we are worthy. That they are so good. Each and every one of us has a body made by God that is really good. However, another verse I kind of want to highlight is about the enemy. And that each one of us who believe in God, that there is an enemy that's kind of just out there trying to convince us that God didn't really mean that. And so in John 10:10, we learn about Satan, the enemy, and what is he about. John 10:10, it says that the enemy's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. But my purpose, God's purpose for every single one of us is to give us a rich and satisfying life. Another verse that tells us about this enemy, it says, stay alert. 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert. All of you girls in here, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so I started kind of with this biblical idea of this is what God says about body image. But I'm acknowledging, and I hope you guys, and you probably have experienced this, is a broken world. And we have an enemy who's trying to convince us that what God's word said is not true. Or maybe for you personally, it's just hard for you to believe that what God's word says about you is actually true. And so I'm acknowledging both sides, that God's word says this about us, and yet it is not always easy to believe. And so with those ideas in mind, and with that, we're going to be talking about four things that we need to consider when navigating negative body image. And I'm going to give you all four up front, which is really great and will hopefully help you as we kind of guide through this conversation. But four areas and four things that we need to consider when navigating negative body image. And the first is our thoughts. We're going to talk about our thoughts. The second is our words. How do our words play into navigating negative body image? Then we're going to talk about our habits. And then we're going to talk about, with all that in mind, what does God's word have to say and how can we be encouraged by that? And an idea that we had when brainstorming for this, we always say as a student ministry that the best ministers to students are other students. And in Shoreline, one of the ways that we live that out is we have a student come and share their testimony every month. They'll come and on this stage, just talk about how God's been at work in their lives. And as a ministry, we've started doing something called the Watermark Students Podcast. Well, we will have students come on and they'll share about certain topics, how God has been teaching them about their struggles and what encouragement they can give to other students. And so when thinking about this breakout today, I was remembering that the best minister to other students is other students. And so we have a treat for you all today. We get to invite up our friend Emma Howell. Come on up. As Emma comes up and is getting situated, guys, we are going to get to hear Emma's story and how the Lord has been at work in her life as she's been navigating negative body image. And specifically, she's going to share just about her journey walking through negative body image and an eating disorder and how God has been at work through her life. It is going to be encouraging as she shares her story. And then she's going to help us kind of walk through those four things that I talked about: our thoughts, our words, our habits, and God's word. And so to start, I'm gonna pray for Emma really quick because it's kind of nerve-wracking getting on this stage. You get a little bit of jitters. And then Emma is gonna read her testimony for you guys, just about how the Lord has been at work in her life. So I'm gonna pray real quick, and then Emma, it's great to see you up on stage. Glad you're here. And then Emma's gonna take over from there. But let's pray for Emma real quick. Lord, thank you that your word is true, that you have made us fearfully and wonderfully made. Lord, I pray that you would help us believe that. I pray as Emma speaks and shares her story, that you would help us consider how our thoughts, our words, our habits, and your word play into navigating negative body image and finding security in you, Lord. So we love you. Pray you give us peace and confidence to speak your truth today. So it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Emma, go ahead and share your story.
For sure. Hi, my name is Emma Howell. I pray that my story and my struggle will help all of you fight the lies of diet culture and bad body image, and that you'll be reminded today that you were made by the Lord with intentionality and a purpose. All my life, I had a bad view of food. I didn't think restricting certain foods or talking negatively about my body was a bad thing. After all, it is something completely normalized by society. However, in seventh grade, I began to hit a low point. I would go days without eating, and if I did eat, it wasn't enough to compensate for the amount of exercising I was doing on a daily basis. My friends praised me for being healthy and thin, but what they didn't see was the damage I was doing to my body. My parents got calls from teachers and parents concerned about me. Finally, my parents addressed me about it. I denied all of this. I'm just being healthy, I said. In the next week, my life changed completely. I went to my pediatrician and cardiologist, and it turned out that my heart was damaged and my body was breaking down. You may think this would be enough to convince me something was wrong, but I still truly believe that I was perfectly fine. I got an outpatient dietitian and therapist for a while, but I needed more help. Right at the time when every school was going online, I was admitted into a treatment center in Dallas. I was angry at God, my family, my friends, and myself. I did not rely on the Lord for the first part of my recovery. Once I got out, I fell right back into my old sin of restricting and overexercising. I truly believed I was healthy. I thought nobody would love me without my eating disorder, and I got to a point when I couldn't imagine my life without it. I was angry that I couldn't get rid of these overwhelming thoughts and angry that I had to deal with this. I fell into self-harm behaviors. I believed that I was alone and that no one loved me. Thankfully, I'm blessed with parents who do love me, so as soon as they found out, they admitted me into a hospital for the night. At that moment, I realized that I could not go on like this anymore. I wasn't truly living. I wasn't the same old happy Emma I once was. I was angry, sad, and insecure. I told my parents that I needed to go back to treatment. Obviously, that was a hard decision, but one that I am forever grateful I made. So in eighth grade, I went back to treatment. This time, I had to stay overnight. I was in treatment for about 2.5 months. My faith was tested, and without my parents, I felt so alone. My mom sent me a devotional, and I was so angry at God that I was asking, why would she give me this? This won't help anything. However, God never gave up on me. He gave me a sister-like figure who role modeled how to trust God even in the hard. He also gave me an incredible dietitian who gave me Bible verses that reminded me of truth. I remember my first week at treatment, my dietitian read me Psalm 23:4, which says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I repeated this verse over and over in my head because it reminded me that although I may feel alone, God is always with me. All I have to do is rely on him. Once I got out, I really had to put the mental work in. I got a new dietitian who helped me see food and exercise in a healthier way. I went back to therapy and got into journaling. I made the decision to go to camp. At camp, I saw my counselors and camp friends give their lives to the Lord. Sure, we ate, but it wasn't something we talked about all the time. Nobody made comments on weight or what we ate, etc. This was so refreshing because school was filled with triggers. I forgot I had an eating disorder, and I experienced true joy found in Christ that I hadn't had in a long time. It's so easy to look back on those times and feel guilt and shame for what I put my family through. But I know that God is still writing my story. I know he takes beauty from ashes, and I know that's what he's doing here today. Thank you.
Thank you, Emma. Emma, I am so excited that Emma is here talking because she's in your shoes. She is living in the same like school environments, being a part of the same conversations at your age, and that is just invaluable that you get to be up here and help guide this conversation. And so thank you for sharing your story.
Of course.
And I love that you are able to empathize just by how the Lord has walked through this journey with you. And so to start, would love to start with thoughts. Like we said, the four things with navigating negative body image. The first one, it starts with our thoughts. And so for you, Emma, give us a little bit of context. Talk about the role that your thought life played into your journey with negative body image and just disordered eating.
Yes. So for eating disorders, usually thoughts like are the really main thing that starts with eating disorders. So I had thoughts way before I engaged in any eating disorder behaviors. I had thoughts like, I need to be skinny. My parents and friends won't love me if I wasn't beautiful. All those thoughts that are really just triggering and not helpful. One thing that I had to work on was separating my eating disorder thoughts from my thoughts, which is super, super hard to do. But something that helped me was focusing on the facts. Like, I know God loves me. I know God calls me. God wants the best for me. And I know God calls me his masterpiece. And I know that my eating disorder does not want the best for me. And I know that my eating disorder wants me to do things that are bad for me. That's what helped me the most. And if I hear the thought, like, you need to be skinnier or you shouldn't eat that, I can tell that it's not rational. And I know God, because I know God would never say that to me. So that's what's really helpful.
Yeah, that's so good. I think it's important to acknowledge having negative thoughts and kind of having those thoughts come into your mind. That's not a sin. Mm-hmm. Each one of us will face negative thoughts. And what you said, I think, is so important is I had to acknowledge them. I had to think about what is coming through my mind. And I think for a lot of us, navigating negative body image, it starts in our mind. Mm-hmm. It starts with these thoughts that come in and come in. And if we don't think about it, if we don't talk about it, then it can be so private. And no one will know that you're struggling with negative body image because no one can tell what's going on in here if you don't take inventory and talk about it. And so I think as Christians, this is so good for us to know. We could be struggling with negative thoughts and you could walk into school, smile. Nobody knows anything's wrong, right? But yet God's word has something to say about our thought life that's really, really helpful. And it makes me think 2 Corinthians 10, verses 4 and 5. It tells us, it says, we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. It goes on to say that we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. And this is the part to focus on. As believers, we have so much hope with our thoughts. As it says that we can capture these rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. Your Bible's translations may say that as Christians, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can take negative thoughts captive. And that's maybe a phrase you've heard at churches. Hey, take those thoughts captive. You're like, okay, but how? And so Emma, would love to hear from you. Yes. Like, what does that mean to take thoughts captive? Like, how have you learned to do that?
Well, I think something that I've been taught from a young age from my parents is that if I hide like struggles and thoughts in dark corners, they just get bigger and bigger and bigger until they just explode. And then I engage in eating disorder behaviors. So something that helped me is just like going to people that I trust, like my mom or my counselor, or something like that, and just telling them and having those thoughts. Because that's where I found freedom, is just telling people, hey, I'm really struggling with this. I need help. Like asking for help is actually such a big strength. I think that will really help you find freedom in your thoughts. So
that's so good. And some of you guys maybe have never shared a negative thought that plays in your mind a lot. And I would challenge you guys to take some time. And Emma mentioned this. She goes, I would write down my thoughts. I had to take kind of inventory of what were the thoughts that would go through my mind each day. And then she invited safe people in to help her sort through, like, what are real thoughts and what are thoughts that are just like attacking me to believe things that aren't true about me. And so maybe for you, that's something you guys can do, is really write down, like, what are the thoughts like that I'm saying to myself all day long? And do I have safe people in my life that I can invite in to be like, here's what I'm thinking. Can you help me sort through this? Can you help me get out of my mind and process through what is real versus where am I just believing lies? Because we know we have an enemy who seeks to kill, destroy, and convince us of things that aren't true that God has to say about us. That is so good. And so kind of transitioning to our next thing is that words. And we all know that words are powerful. And I think when it comes to navigating negative image and disordered eating, this is such an important thing for us to talk about, is the power of our words. And so Emma, would love to hear from you. Yes. Just how have words played into your journey with negative body image?
Yes, they've definitely played a big part. I think for me, they started at the lunch table. Just people saying how little they ate that day, what they eat. Oh my gosh, that person gained weight, or I lost weight. Just all that type of stuff that just wasn't helpful. I think it's sadly become so normalized in society that we just talk about that. So sometimes we don't even realize that we're doing it. I think we really need to be aware of that because it can really impact people. And it can breed comparison and lead to a negative thought cycle. So that's at least how it worked for me. And I know it works for many people. So before you speak, I really recommend just thinking about what you're saying and how that could impact someone. And also there's something that was really not helpful for me was the whole body positivity movement, because I think when I was recovering, that came up because everyone's saying, oh my gosh, you should love your body all the time. And that just wasn't helpful for me because I'm like, wait, I can't love my body all the time. I feel like stupid because I just can't love my body like other people say they can, which in reality they can't, but they act like they do. And so something that I've been focusing on, which I do want to clarify, it's so okay to look in the mirror and be like, oh my gosh, I think I look so good today. That's normal. But I think that it's something that I've been working on more is just saying this body neutrality is something that's been helpful, is just focusing on what my body can do and how I'm so thankful for my body and not really focusing on my appearance and just focusing on how grateful I am that God has allowed me to do sports like soccer and running and all those type of things that I wasn't able to do with my eating disorder because my eating disorder prevented me from being able to do those things. So that's what I've been really working on.
That's so good. Guys, if you're taking notes, I encourage you to write down that phrase, body neutrality. That's so important because like Emma was pointing out, there's body neutrality and then on one end, it is just so negative where the words that we speak are just bashing ourselves. Like we are so critical. We're like, oh, I hate the way I look. I can't believe I ate that. Ugh, I want to look like that way. Like, and we're just comparing so negatively with our words. And then on the other end is where we elevate it to too much, where we're like, no, you're perfect. You're great, girl. Like, you go, girl. And it's that body positivity. Mm-hmm. Both sides are an elevation of our bodies. One is an elevation in a negative way. One's an elevation in an overly positive way. Body neutrality is what God's talking about, where he's like, hey, it's neutral. Like, because in body neutrality is where God gets the glory, because it's about God, it's about his creation, and we get to glorify him. And in the other kind of sides of the story, then we're trying to get the glory, whether in a negative or a positive way, which is so good. And I think I love what you said about it starting at the lunch table. Mm-hmm. Y'all, I don't know where it is for you. It could be the lunch table. Maybe it's your friend group, like group texts, ways you talk on your sports team. Like, it is so easy for our words to get unhealthy in the way that we talk about our body, in the way that we talk about food. And so what are ways that you've learned to kind of like combat that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think something that I've been working on with my counselor is like at the lunch table, when people say those things, it's some people are like, you need to say something dramatic, like stop talking about that. Like, here's Bible verses, like stop.
Just throw Bible verses at them. Like, don't say that.
Yeah. But
no, that
I
won't be helpful always.
It can be really simple and just being like, hey guys, let's just talk about something else because this isn't helpful. Like something as simple as that, just to guide the conversation away from that topic that can be triggering. That's what's worked for me, and that's what I've started to do at the lunch table.
That's so good. A really helpful verse for me from the Bible when it comes to the power of our words is Ephesians 4:29, and it says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who read them. And I love that it says that everything that comes out of our mouth is either going to be good and helpful or unhelpful. And when I think about as a Christian, how do I want to use my words? How do I want to honor God with them? I want to have helpful words. And so when it comes to disordered eating and navigating negative body image, this is an area where we, as just followers of Jesus, have to look a little different than the world. And we get to look different by being really mindful of how do we talk about these things and how are we contributing to the conversation. And it may be having to change the subject can be the best thing that you guys do. And it can feel so awkward. And I love that Emma's like, hey, just try it. Just be like, hey guys, I don't know if this is the best. And starting there can go a long way. And so I love that. Great thoughts. And so we've covered just like how it starts at a thought level, right? And our thoughts can translate to our words. And I think the kind of next flow is our words then can translate to actions and our habits. And so would love to hear from you, Emma.
Yes.
I think also we've talked about this culture, whether you guys are on social media, just on Pinterest, whatever it may be, like your school friends around you, culture has a lot to say about what is healthy and what we should do and what we should eat and how we should act and all of that. And it can be like, no, that's healthy.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. But what do you think are some things that culture is like, emphasizing as healthy that really may not be that healthy?
Yeah. Well, I think something that I've worked on with my dietitian is focusing on, like, what is healthy? Like, what is the word healthy mean? Because in society, it says, like, oh, doing these diets or only eating, like, vegetables for the entire, like, just only eating vegetables, that's just not healthy. So I think, actually, when I was in treatment, I saw a brain scan of what happens when you're restricting and giving your body, like, not giving your body the fuel it needs. And it was really scary because the brain just doesn't look, like, it doesn't look healthy. It just looks like not a brain. So it actually shows that all those fad diets that are supposed to make you feel better about yourself and supposed to make you healthy are actually doing the opposite. And that was actually really, really helpful for me because I'm like, wow, that if I'm trying to be healthy, that's just not even what that means. Like, that's just not even right. So for me, healthy means like eating balanced and all food in moderation is good. That's what I've learned with my dietitian. But also in the same way, God didn't create food to be idolized and the same way he didn't create our bodies to be idolized. So I think he created food to fuel our bodies and also for fellowship. That's what's been helpful for me. It's just like when I'm out with friends and I'm eating dinner, I'm like, I'm not focusing on what I'm eating. I'm focusing on who I'm with and how much fun I'm having. So that's what's helped.
That's so good. I love that. And getting to work with a lot of students, I get to have conversations just about what are we tempted to do when we're feeling negative about our bodies. And I've seen, I mean, guys, this is so real. Even for me, when someone takes a photo of me, the first thing I do, then I'm like, zoom in on myself, right? I'm like, what do I look like? Do I like that? Do I like this picture? You guys have access to apps that you can edit your whole face. If you don't like what you see, just get on the app and edit it on. And you're like, great, I'll post that. It's just a totally, you have access to change what you don't like. And I know for me in my journey, just walking through negative body image, an unhealthy habit that I was like, this is really healthy, is I just weighed myself all the time. I always wanted to know what my weight was because in my mind, I was like, well, I just want to be a healthy weight. And it got kind of out of hand for me. And so all of these things that can be healthy, it is truly what's healthy for me may not be healthy for Emma. And I think where that's so good that you just know yourself and you are inviting other people in to speak to that, where you're inviting accountability in to be like, hey, do you see areas of my life that maybe aren't looking as healthy or maybe have gotten a little off course that started healthy but maybe now aren't for me? And I know for me, one specifically, that my community group of girls, they can ask me, when's the last time I weighed myself? And how long do I stare at myself in the mirror? They know that they can ask me that at any time. And that's a part of what I share and what I confess to them, is because that was what I was convincing myself was a healthy habit, was just I'd get dressed and then I was like staring at myself in the mirror. You could lift up your shirt, stare, give criticism all day long. Yeah. And that for me wasn't a healthy habit that I had to confess and walk through.
Yeah.
And so for you, Emma, any other things where you're just thinking about creating healthy boundaries that you've had to put into place?
Yeah, so I think with pictures, back to what you said about pictures, that was a huge trigger for me because I think we all do that. Like, we zoom in on ourselves and we're like, oh my gosh, we have to delete that. Like, that's so bad. I look so bad in that. But I worked on this with my counselor. It's like, are you really going to, like, miss out on all the, like, the fun pictures and all those cool things that you're going to take? And you're going to be older and you're going to look back and you're going to be like, oh, I want to see pictures from when I was in high school or middle school. And you're not going to have any because you just deleted them all. And I think that was something that I got to focus on, was like how much fun I'm having in that moment, because that's what pictures represent, how much fun you're having in a moment. And just that's just I just love that, because it's like whenever I see a picture, I'm like, oh my gosh, I had so much fun at that moment. And instead of focusing on zooming in and being like, oh, I looked weird in that, or I'm going to delete it, so then I can have memories. And I think that's what's been really helpful.
Totally. I love that. And so kind of wrapping up, we're heading to arguably the most important one, just especially as believers, is what does God's word have to say about this? And how has God's word informed your journey through this? Maybe even how have you struggled relating with God through this journey? So would love if you could just share a little bit about your relationship with God and how that has dipped, grown, all of that through navigating as we wrap up here.
So as I shared in my testimony, my relationship with the Lord has had its definite ups and downs. I think something that I learned at camp was that it's okay to be angry at God, and I need to come to him with that anger because he can take it. And just saying, hey, I'm really angry at you, and I don't know how to have a relationship with you, because he is with me in my doubt. He's also with you in your doubt, and he is with you in your struggle. So I think something that I've been thinking about this week is 1 John 5:21, which says, dear children, keep away anything that might take God's place in your hearts. If I notice myself putting grades or the ideal body or popularity or sports or whatever in front of God, I can just remind myself that's not what matters. The ultimate thing that matters is God. So that's what I've been reminding myself this week.
That's so good. Another verse to write down real quick is Ephesians 2:10, of just remembering what God says about our bodies, that we are his masterpiece. And maybe you've seen a painting before and you're like, that is beautiful. That is a work of art. And just knowing what God's word says about us is that he looks at our bodies, he looks at us, and it's not full of criticism and critique. He truly sees us as a masterpiece, and he views us as his workmanship, useful for him and his kingdom work. And so, Emma, we're so grateful for you being here. Kind of to wrap up, you have the audience for a couple more minutes, and you get one final encouragement. Anything you'd like to say to this group? Anything you have for them? Final thought?
Well, there's so much, but I would probably do a challenge, two challenges. Along with my recovery, I've learned what a true compliment is. I think it's easy to look at someone and be like, oh my gosh, you're so pretty, or you're so thin, or all those things. But of course, it's normal for that to feel good for a little bit, but then you're always going to need more of that. You're going to keep looking for the validation. And so I think focusing on character, because God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at outward appearances. And if we're trying to be like God, then we need to start looking at people's heart. And so whenever people say like, oh my gosh, you're so kind or something, obviously what people say isn't what matters most. It's what God says. But I think once you focus on it, like when you stop focusing on external things and start focusing on the heart, those are the compliments that are fruitful and lasting. And then also, I would say just focusing on like what you say at the lunch table and what you say on a day-to-day basis, even at your house, and just focusing on how are these words like impacting other people? How can I use my words to encourage people and not build them down? So
that's so good. Emma, thank you for being here. I love that Emma got to come and share, because God has used her experiences with this, and he's teaching her so much and helping her find freedom in that. And my hope and my prayer is that regardless of where you guys are at in your journey with navigating negative body image, that you will be able to consider how do your thoughts, your words, your habits, and God's word help you navigate your journey with this. And so I'm going to pray for us really quick just to wrap up our time. Give it up for Emma really quick, though.
Thank you.
So fun. I'm going to pray, and then when I'm done praying, you guys can head and go get lunch. I know I mentioned the next step, so let's pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you that your word is true, that we are created in your image, that you see us, you see our bodies, you see who we are, and it is a masterpiece, that you did not make a mistake when you made every single one of us. Lord, I pray in this broken world that you would help us believe that. I pray you would help us fight the negative thoughts that come into our mind, that you would help us be mindful with our words and consider how can we build others up? How can we build ourselves up with our words? And Lord, I pray that we would be able to examine the habits that we take based on those negative thoughts and ask ourselves, are these really good? Are these helping me glorify God? And Lord, I pray ultimately that we would believe your word to be true, that you love us and that you made our bodies good. Lord, thank you for this group. Thank you for all that we have in you. And it's in your son's name that we pray. Amen.